Two-man show. Hey, all right, everybody. It is good to be here with you this morning. So I am setting up my timer so that this does not happen, so that we're not here together in the afternoon. I don't think they got that one. All right, here we go. All right. Are you guys ready? Okay, everybody. Ever since we planted this church almost 5 years ago now. Yeah, I know, right? 5 years ago. Ever since we did that, we've started the new year with a state of the church address. Just like countries or businesses, they have success indicators. Well, so does the church, believe it or not. They oftentimes don't talk about it. Sometimes they don't even know what they are, but they do have success indicators nonetheless. They just look a whole lot different than a country or a business. You know, the world, it revolves around money. It's all about money, money, money. In the church, it revolves around Christ and the gospel. The purpose of the church, the church's mission statement, is summed up in two passages found in the book of Matthew. Okay, and they're known as the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. The Great Commandment is in this passage in Matthew 22, and it starts off with this: Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands.
So everybody likes to talk about love. Favorite subject, love, love, love. And we should. That's the great commandment. But there's also a job to do, the Great Commission. And that's spelled out in Matthew 28. And we pretty well know this, right? Jesus came to them and he said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. For that reason, therefore, go make disciples everywhere in all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe or to obey everything that I commanded you. And then remember this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So we have these two passages, the Great Commandment, the Great Commission. And we derive from that at least five purposes for the church. And the first two are taken from the great commandment. First, to love the Lord your God with all your heart. And that would be worship. To develop our worship individually and as a church. That's one of the purposes of the church, is to help us with worship. Second one is also from the great commandment. It's to love your neighbors, yourself, or to minister. It's a ministry. Second purpose of the church is to develop ministry. They'll know we're his disciples if we love one another. The early church definitely was known this way. And I'd like this church to go out in a blaze of glory being known for that as well. Amen. And then the last three purposes that we're going to talk about this morning anyway are from the Great Commandment, or the Great Commission, rather. And the first is evangelism, or to go and to make disciples. And then the second one from that Great Commission would be to baptize them. We take this literally, and we're going to talk about it figuratively here too, in terms of fellowship. In other words, we're going to describe our baptisms for this year, give you an update. But baptism is an immersion into water, and it's figuratively an immersion into the culture of the family of Jesus Christ. His family, we're his kids. We sang about that again. Every single Sunday, the songs that are sung relate to what we share, and we never coordinate it. God does. We sang at least one song like that this morning. And then the fifth purpose is teaching them to observe everything that was commanded. And so what we're going to do this morning is we're going to evaluate Lifehouse Church according to those five purposes of the church, how we're doing in those things, and then we're going to share, this is where we're going. We're going to share a little bit about each one of these things, what we have planned for this year, maybe some goals that we have.
All right. So, here we go. Purpose number one, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. And we're calling it worship. Worship includes both corporate and personal acts of devotion to Christ. It would include things like church services. That's what we typically think about. I'm going to worship. It would include our corporate time right here, right now. It would include that. It would include definitely breaking of bread, something that Jesus himself instituted for his people to do to remember his death until he comes again. Breaking of bread, prayer, having a personal quiet time is an act of worship. Living a God-honoring lifestyle is worship. So you have an opportunity to worship 24/7 by the way you choose to live. Let's take a look at the one that is easy to measure, and that's church attendance. This past year, we've stayed fairly constant over the course of the year. About 50 people. That's where we average 50. Sometimes it's on the low 40s, sometimes up into the upper 70s. And those are times of great promise. We oftentimes get really excited. Wow, we had 70, 75 people. But the thing that we've seen happen over this course of this year, and really it's over the course of this entire church plant, is that visitors rarely become regulars. We're not altogether sure why. This has happened even after fulfilling some of last year's goals, to dress up the place and to help connect with visitors. We put up curtains. We created visitor cards. We started the cookie ministry. We've done some things to help communicate to people our care, concern, our love for them, as well as that we're here to stay. This is our place. We're kind of hanging our hat. But these efforts haven't really communicated, really haven't captured people's hearts. We're not sure why. We understand there's a spiritual battle. We realize there's a thick cloud of religiosity in this area. Whatever it is, the people that have visited our church just hasn't come back again. I'm not sure what's going on there. It is something we're running into quite frequently. I remember when we first moved up here, being told that if we could capture the musical talent pool found among the Luther College students, people will come. They're just, their measure of excellence and ability is so unique and so attractive that people will just want to come to be impressed, immersed, entertained, whatever it might be, by the music. And so we thank God for Webb. Steven's not here right now, but Melody, these three have been awesome blessing to us. Two thumbs up. Even Adam would say, even solo the guy can rock. I mean, he's good. And we thank God for him. Unfortunately, most of our Luther students who have visited have not come back again. And we're not sure why. But we are sure glad that Hannah's here. Breaking the mold since whenever. Whenever she was born, breaking the mold. So that's great. So our band situation right now is somewhat fragile. You probably kind of picked that up with our solo acts here over the past few weeks. We're lacking available musicians. Now, we certainly compensate for that as a church by singing loud and strong, and we have the help of an echoey facility. Yes. But really, I credit it, as Webb did, to your passion, your faith, your voices. It really fills the house, and it compensates. But one of our goals for this year is to strengthen our bands with more musicians and musical excellence, and really to try to make some progress in that.
Yeah. Another thing that we put in place, actually we did this a couple of years ago, but I tried to augment it last year, I think, a little bit, is to try to define some of the roles that are necessary, strategic things that must happen on a Sunday morning. One of those is the greeter, for example, and our greeter died. Jenny was our greeter, one of them at least, and she's gone, but Patty and Lance have stepped in to fill that spot, and we think that's really important, that people, when they come, know we want them to be here, and we are glad that they came.
Amen.
Another thing that that is needed that Jenny did also was breaking of bread, and in other words, just making sure on the Sunday that we are breaking bread together, that the elements are prepared, they're set in place, and if we're going to distribute it, that the people know that they are going to be helping with it. And Anthony's taking that over. Thank you, Anthony. Yeah. Appreciate that. Won't be doing that this morning, by the way. And then Val and Jonathan are his sidekick helpers, and we appreciate that as well.
That.
It's really important. We just, you know, if it seems like we were ready, then it seems like we are together in our worship. If it's all of a sudden, oh, wait, we got to, then it just seems like we weren't planning on worshiping the Lord.
Yeah.
And so that's needed, and thank you. Yeah. Prayer. You know, on Sunday mornings, a number of us are able to come here at 8:30, and we pray for a half hour before we get started. Or as we get started, I really should say. And we've had a fairly decent turnout. Sometimes it's about half of the people that are going to be here are here for prayer. We recognize it's an earlier hour. Maybe Sunday's the only time you can sleep in a little bit. And so what we experience is people kind of come with cobwebs still, just kind of shaking their heads, trying to register with their spiritual makeup. But they're here at least, and we definitely appreciate that. One of the purposes of the church is in worship is definitely in prayer. In fact, one thing that we'd like to have as a goal this year is at least twice we'd like to meet for a prayer meeting as a whole church, maybe on a Saturday night or something, maybe Sunday night, I don't know, but twice, maybe early, maybe next month, next couple of months, and then again in the fall. But two times that we'd like to help each other to be in prayer. It just helps when somebody else prays out loud so you can hear what's going on in somebody else's heart. It just triggers your own mind. And then if you're bold enough and courageous enough, you can try it yourself, you know? And you know, it's an awkward thing. Maybe you're not used to it, so we'll have times during those times to break down in smaller groups also. It's really important that we all feel like we're in this together. You know, the Apostle Paul in the Corinthians, at least twice he said this to churches that he wrote letters to, you guys helped me. You helped me by your prayers. And in other places he asked for prayer. And so that's one goal that we have. And one last thing in this worship, you know, this is both individual and corporate. Maybe, just maybe sometimes the reason that we come and it's hard to pray is that we're not praying a lot at home or in our private times. One can feed on the other. If we pray together as a group, you might have greater ammunition, so to speak, to pray when you're at home. We'd like to always encourage, and again this morning, I want to encourage you in your own private, quiet time. Make this a habit. Seek the Lord daily. Have a reading plan. That helps a lot of us. You know, sometimes we just don't get to it because, I don't know where to read. Do I read a psalm? I don't feel like reading a psalm today. Proverbs, I don't feel like that either. Pretty soon you don't feel like reading, and you haven't. I think of it this way. And you know, it's not about the information that we gather. We get that. I don't need a big head. I don't need to have everything memorized so that I can say I memorized everything. But here's the issue. If you spent as much time drinking an alcoholic beverage as you spend seated at the feet of Jesus, would you get drunk? The scriptures evaluate things that way. Ephesians 5 says, don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. The idea is there's an influence of one or there's an influence of another. And we just urge us, you know, we know the Spirit is willing, the flesh is just weak. And we're a little reluctant sometimes. We bring it out again. We beat the drum. Please pursue a private time with God. Some of us are doing the 1 year so that we can interact on it. That's a good idea. Or have your own reading plan, whatever it is. That's one of the purposes of the church, is to worship. We'd like to help with that.
All right. The second purpose of the church is to love your neighbor as yourself. We're calling it ministry. Ministry includes efforts like our Celebrate Recovery ministry, service opportunities, celebrating or expressing care and concern for other people through cards. Again, this was something that our dear Jenny was very aggressive at doing. She would have cards here for us to sign, even of people we didn't know. But she would have them here, and God bless her for that. And so, without question, when it comes to loving our neighbor, losing Jenny is a huge blow to our church. When we think of 2014, her death will cast a shadow over the entire year. It was significant, and it was hard. And it also left a lot of holes in our church, a lot of roles that she was filling that are now empty. One of those is a ministry of just celebrating and expressing compassion for people in need. Cards is a really good sentimental way of doing that. But there are other ways, gifts, just prayers, whatever, but she would be the one to bring those to our attention. We don't have anyone actively serving in that way right now. That is a goal, is to fill that need. Service ministries, there's always people out there in need of a helping hand. And it seems like a lot of people are living in such fractured relationships with their family that they can't turn to family for that. So we do get a lot of strangers or people that we kind of know from one area or another who will turn to us for help. We sure would like to have a point man to oversee or help coordinate service opportunities that come our way. I mean, a lot of times Jeff gets pulled into things. He's got a truck, you know, Jeff's got a truck, so we'll pull in Jeff. Maybe Jeff might want to step into a role of being a service coordinator, just a lead service guy. So that's a need that we have. But really, when you think about it, no matter how hard we try, we're not always going to be aware of every need, and we're not going to be able to meet every need. Do we need to, or how would we? That's a question I think Bob's going to actually help us work through.
Yep, a little bit. You know, one thing that we did well as a church this year, though, was with Jenny's passing, I think we really, really helped that family. Amen. Many of you showed up at the funeral, and it was a great comfort to Julie and to the boys and to James. And then a number of us helped clean out the apartment. That's a difficult task. Yeah. So many sentimental things, and Jenny was so outgoing and so compassionate. She had a number of people stay with her for periods of time, and they left stuff there, and that's now on the burden on the family to take care of. So it was a great help to Julie. I wanted to mention Sung Suk. You were a dear friend of Jenny's, and if Jenny were here, there'd be a card here this morning because your birthday is in 2 days.
My wife just happy birthday, girl.
So here's your happy birthday from
Amen.
Us.
Happy birthday,
we'll have to, I don't know, maybe somebody can find a card.
Just not know.
So, but meeting needs, you know, it might not be appropriate for the whole church to have to know every single thing that goes on, every single place. It's just impossible to communicate even with that thing. What do you call it?
It's called Facebook.
Facebook. Yeah. But one thing that we can do is we can meet some of these things in small groups. You know, if I only have two or three or four or five or six people in a small group and I feel responsible to be there when there's a special need, that can happen. I can arrange my schedule for a few interruptions. I just can't expect to be at every single one of them. So one goal that we have this year is to increase the number of small groups that we have and increase our intimacy in those groups. We have some things we think we can share with those groups. Tim, can I say this here? Yeah, I'm just going to stick it in here. I forgot. We're going to, in our handouts, is that okay to have it now?
Yeah, go ahead and show what you're thinking.
Yeah. In our handouts, we're going to write some things at the bottom to help in a small group. In other words, you'll have your handouts on a Sunday morning, then we're going to write some things down there. Here's maybe a prayer request, or here's a way that you could get involved in a particular, depending on what topic we have, of course. So these are ways that we have in mind to help create an intimacy as a whole church, you know, if we're all interacting on some of the same questions, but then in your own small group as well, if there are practical things that you can do as a result of a message or in response to a message, we'll give you some ideas there just to help increase this intimacy.
All right. Okay, purpose number three is go and make disciples. We'll call it evangelism. And without question, this year's evangelical efforts on a part of Lifehouse Church were nothing short of impressive. We did a countywide gospel blitz again to Clayton County. This time it was in participation with three other churches, which was extremely rewarding for us because we wanted to coordinate and work with local churches in that county that we were distributing the gospel to. It happened last year. We also had a fair booth that was very successful, even to the point where we met up with the Moshers, and God's now kind of drawn them in, you know, and it's just been great. We've got the soccer program was much better attended this year than last year. Luke and Melissa did a fantastic job. We had an entry in the parade. It was good. We also did the outreach class, had good participation, about 12 people involved in that. We got the gospel out about 13 times, and it's still getting out by those who are trained in that class. And even Jenny's passing, as hard as that was for us personally, opened up the door to the gospel in ways that she would just, I'm sure she's still dancing in heaven. The gospel got out loud and strong, just clearly as the gospel, as well as in her testimony track at her wedding up in heaven for her, at her funeral, to her family and friends, and also to the Luther College campus, which still to this day just makes me giddy inside when I think I'm standing 20 feet away from the very office where she was told she cannot share the gospel here. Well, there we were, standing there, passing out the gospel to every Luther student. It was a God thing. Yeah. And so I really rejoice. You know, and to back up a little bit with this, the gospel blitz, that was also impressive. It's a God thing there. We had 50 people prepared 9,000 door hangers filled with testimony tracts and gospel literature, and we delivered the good news to 85% of the homes in Clayton County. And it's easy to forget that we did the same thing in Decorah. We did a Decorah gospel blitz too. We had 55 parents and teens from Walnut Creek in Des Moines come up here, and we filled these Easter bag tracts, you know, these Easter bags with activity booklets and a postcard promoting the soccer program, as well as gospel and testimony tracts. And we delivered that to every home in Decorah. I don't think we missed a single one. We hit every home. So the gospel got out, and it was awesome. Let's not forget, we also sent three souls to South Africa. Val and Kristen and Nina went to South Africa with Blessman Ministries. All in all, we know of at least 11 salvations from last year. Yeah, 11 people crossed over from death to life. We got Thelma, Tyler's not here right now, Cole prayed to receive Christ this past year, Ariana, my little daughter, she's in the back, Hannah responded to the gospel here. Am I missing anyone else this year? Turned their lives over to Christ. Miles got mentioned yesterday. Dale was 2 years back, believe it or not. What? Isaac? Nope, he was also 2 years back. He just got baptized this last year. And so, go God. Go God. That's why we're here, is to present the gospel that they would have the knowledge necessary to make a choice to believe in Christ and turn their lives over to Him and be born again, and God did it.
Amen. Hey, and you know one thing about that Clayton County outreach? Is Clayton County is a very big county. Yeah. It's a sprawling thing. Only a couple counties are bigger than Clayton in Iowa. So it's a huge task, and we just rejoice when we can be involved in God's work. He who sows abundantly will reap abundantly. You know, we want to see folks added here, and obviously many in Clayton County won't. But remember, this is part of the Great Commission. If we're going to go everywhere in the world, let's get started someplace. As Tim Root always says, do something. So that's what we're doing. thinking of these county distributions, this year we're not going to do one.
Yeah.
Because we've always had help. You know, we had North Dakota 2 years in a row. We had Ames at least 2 years in a row. And last year, for the last 2 years, we've involved churches. We had Fayette County, we had Roland and his church. Mm-hmm. And then three churches over there, Jeff's dad's church down there. And we'd like to have a greater participation. We're not complaining. You all did well, but we'd like to see us able as our own little nucleus to raise up a force to hit a county by ourselves. And the next one, Chickasaw County, would be our next county we'd like to do. It's much easier. Much easier. The roads are actually perpendicular to each other. Yeah.
Imagine that.
That's amazing. You might be able to remember where you were, you know. So we're going to get ready for that. Plan this. Spring break, a year from this March, have your car available.
Yeah, right.
Have yourself planning to drive and have a co-pilot. Mm-hmm. If we have, probably only 16 townships, probably. So if we have 32 cars, we should be able to do this in a day. Well, and we're going to also continue our involvement in the fair, both with our booth, which has been a raving success. Mm-hmm. Also, that booth where they take the picture, you know, the photo booth, the fair board liked that.
Yeah.
We're going to do that again. I wanted to announce one other thing, though. A number of us have been helping out with a garbage detail, and the fair board, really appreciate that. I think that this reflects really well on our Savior for two reasons. One is it's a dirty task. Three reasons, maybe four. It's early. We usually get over there around 6 or 6:30, something like that. And the third reason is we sort stuff. We sort the cans and the bottles and the actual trash. That gets to be a lot bigger job than just picking it up. And that's another reason the fair board appreciates it. They get money off of what we do, you know. We sort out their cans, they take them, they get the money for the cans, and so on and so on, you know. For next year? What was that? Yeah. Well, we're going to do that again. So plan on that, if you would. If you just think about that. If the fair is coming up, think of making yourself available on a daily basis, about 5 mornings there. And then we're going to have a big celebration in May, our 5-year anniversary. This is going to be big. It'll be a hoopla. We might even have blow-ups and all that kind of stuff here. I mean, those thingies, you know, the blow-up tent thing.
Inflatables.
You know, not TNT, that, not that, just
inflatables.
Air. Inflatables, there we go, yeah.
Two are better than one, that's why.
Yep. So that'll be a big event, but thinking this is on the in the realm of outreach, we still want to remember one of the best things that happened in our outreach class this year is at least 2 of us, maybe 3 of us, said, you know what? I feel equipped. I feel like I am ready to share the gospel anywhere. Some of those who are in the outreach class still have a few more to reach their requirement of at least 5, right?
5
gospel
yeah.
presentations. And so we're looking for people to share this diagram with. But we just want to make this point. The gospel basically still advances person to person. And it's on us. Get ready to share the gospel this year.
And so to summarize, we got 3 goals under the evangelism purpose. Okay, one is for everyone in our church to have witnessed a presentation of the gospel via the cross diagram. We'd like everyone in our church to have seen it and had the opportunity to respond to Christ in that way. 2 is, and this is a small one, but it's one, having a Super Bowl party as a church. We've done that in the past by reserving the VFW, etc. This time, we're just going to crash my house. Let's just have it at my house. We've got several TVs, you know, people don't want to watch the game. We've got a table to play board games, etc., etc. So we're going to have a Super Bowl party at my place. Bring something to share. And also bring a friend. I mean, over the course of the years, we've seen Super Bowl parties be a neat way where a friend has been able to witness these really nice people. And they all, like, you know, love God. And so how do I get into this? You know, how can I get a part of this, be a part of this? And so we've seen people get involved. If any of you guys know Pat Blair, he first got really connected or pulled in through a Super Bowl party. It's true. True story. 3rd thing is a mission trip to Nepal. We're going to be rallying 3 of us from Lifehouse Church, 4 if you count Rex, and we're going to join up with 3 people from the Stonebrook Church in Ames, and we're going to do a mission trip to Nepal in the middle of March. So that will involve myself, Rex, Nina, and Natalie, Lord willing, and then a few others. So that's going to be a huge deal. You'll be hearing a lot more about that in the coming days. Purpose number 4. We are now on to purpose number 4. We went a little over on that one there, Bob. Okay, purpose number 4 is baptizing them. We're putting that under the umbrella name of fellowship. Guys, fellowship, if you want to know what is that, standing around eating coffee and donuts, think of it this way. It's experiencing God together. That's true biblical fellowship. Experiencing God together. It's experiencing the love of God as we share it with each other. The joy of God. It's not just all being real serious. God likes to have fun too. He created laughter. You know? So it's experiencing the joy of God. It's experiencing the care and the compassion of God towards one another. For sure, it is obeying God together. That's fellowship. And the obvious first step of obedience clearly laid out in the New Testament is baptism. And we witnessed 5 baptisms this year. That's right, with Dale, Tyler, Ariana, Isaac, and Mandy all got baptized this year. We're going to be doing them again probably in May, maybe in November. We'll do a couple more church-wide baptisms. So prepare thyself if you need to obey God in that way. We also, at the end of our series on the saga of God and man, we gave people a chance to commit themselves to the fellowship of believers by becoming a member of Lifehouse Church. So far, my notes say 18. I now need to adjust 19. I just got a card handed to me this morning. 19 people have chosen to fill out that card and say, yes, I'm committing myself to be a part of this fellowship of believers. And so more are still coming in, but we have 19 and counting are those who have declared themselves to be members in good standing with Lifehouse Church. If you would like to still fill out your card, but you need to have a cross-diagram appointment or something, please talk to Bob and I. We'll do everything we can to help make that happen.
Yeah. Hey, one of the things that we mentioned a year ago in this very address was our financial picture. And this is part of a family thing. This is part of this fellowship thing. We had come to the end of our funds that were raised to get this church started. And so we were needing to make some adjustments because we're kind of on our own. And we weren't in anxiety or anything like that, but it was pretty bare bones. And we set a goal as a church family to just have a wild goal in our own thinking to have an offering of about $32,000 for the year. And we blew that right out the top. It was over $35,000 that was given an offering. And we thought, God, where does this come from? How did you do that? So this year, we have raised that even further. We have a goal of an offering just of $40,000 for a year. And as of today, we're on pace to blow that out of the water. We are doing much better. Praise God, and may God bless every single one of you who are giving. And maybe especially anyone who has found this difficult to tithe. 10%, I mean, that's 10%. But that's what God has prescribed in the Old Testament. Somehow it seemed to be something that was done even before the law was instituted. So,
you might want to mention our capital funds account now.
Oh, yeah, we do. Hey, great. Yeah, we have a capital funds account. That means sometime we may have a building of our own. Yeah. Yeah. And we actually have, has Sarah put that in yet? Did we put the money into CD yet? Okay, yep, we have some in there, and it'll be added to. Here we just kind of finished up our total budget numbers from last year, and we determined to put a remainder in. It's over $9,000 that we'll be adding to that account. Yeah,
know, right?
So we're on the way. Hey, last year also we did a church evaluation. A couple of brothers came up from Ames, and we just sat around in our living room and talked about Lifehouse and strengths and weaknesses and so forth. And one of the things that they mentioned, the greatest need was to grow our life group structure, just like we talked about we're planning to do here. So Tim's put together this thing of five ways that you might know that you need to be in a life group. Here's number one. If you feel like you need to buy a pet goldfish so you have someone who will listen to you, you might need to be in a life group.
If your car breaks down, your pantry is bare, and you're seeing things run through your head, and the only ones you can call are the pastors, you might need to be in a life group.
That's right. If the only way you celebrated your birthday last year was through Facebook posts, you really might need a live group.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. If you think that church is comprised of snacks, sing, snacks, message, snacks, you might need to be in a life group. And maybe go on a diet.
Yeah. And if the only person that you have shared your verses and encouragement with is those little things you stick up on the wall, you might need a life group. And so a big goal we have is to have everyone involved in a life group and to shepherd those, as we've been mentioning this morning. That's where we're going to stick this,
that's
that we are going to put those
about
in.
It.
Yep. Well, I'll just say it again. We're going to have some things on the bottom of your handout sheet that will help in this process.
Amen to that. Okay. The fifth purpose of the church is teaching them to obey. Discipleship. Guys, we've been entrusted to some really rich teachings last year. The spring of last year, we kicked off a rather intensive study of the Gospel of Mark. It was good. It was solid. Then in the summer, we looked at Ephesians, We called it putting on Christ, looking specifically at a passage in Ephesians 4 and how is that lived out, to put on Christ. And then all of the fall was devoted to a kind of a doctrinal look of the chronological unveiling of God's will, of God's mind. And we called it the saga of God and man. And so we covered a lot of biblical ground last year. We're going to kick off this new year with a series on discovering your shape. This series is intended to help you discover how God has designed you so that you can better fulfill God's purpose for your life, both in the church and in the workplace and the play place as well. So a goal for us this year is to help us all experience a stronger, healthier body life in the church as each member does its part. Guys, it's critical to know that the end goal of our teachings is not head knowledge. It's a heart of obedience. The most common criticism I hear of church, the most common reason I'm given as to why people don't go to church is because it's filled with hypocrites. We don't want to add any ammunition to that criticism. We want to actually live what we say we believe. We want to be people of integrity. And so that will always be the end goal of our teaching, is to do what it says.
Amen. So a discipleship, that's what we're on here. The purpose, one of the purposes of the church is to teach to obey, teach to observe. You know, it's not just done by teaching. It is an experience. It's in life experience. So discipleship is always going to be one of the purposes of Lifehouse. And this year, we were just going to continue to encourage your quiet times, as we mentioned earlier. There's some Bible studies that are going to be coming up here. I know of at least a couple that are going to be happening. You can ask Thelma. She's going to be involved in a study. And Webb's is going to be involved in a study on campus. And then one other thing that we're going to do this year is we're pulling something out way from a long distant past called noon studies. And way back when a lot of us were college kids, we had a place on campus that we met every noon, I mean Monday through Friday, and we had a teaching time. And we're going to do that every Sunday, but every weekday. But Tim and I are going to try to make this work on a once a week basis. Tim would like to do it on Wednesdays at the Games XP store, just noontime. He'll have something to share there. And I'm going to try to do one on Friday. It's still somewhat in flux because I'm trying to find somebody who can come on Friday, either to my house or maybe someplace closer to campus. So, you know, we might not be able to make it every time. So we might need to pull in somebody else too. So keep your quiet times running, guys. May have some. Sometimes need to have you pull in
to cover for us. Yeah. Right. Okay. That's the five purposes, guys. So finish up.
Yeah.
Wrap it up. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. So here's our final thoughts, guys. This year we're going to witness our five-year anniversary. I started off this message by mentioning that. Our five-year anniversary. We made it. I'm sure there were naysayers out there thinking they're not going to last a couple of years. But we made it for five. So that's worth celebrating. I'm always looking. That's right. I'm always looking for a good reason to have a party. So that's good enough for me. And we are wanting to pull out the stops and do it upright. We already have a band to play. For those of you who heard Jeremy Darling, he's going to bring his band down. And he's going to be performing and playing for us. So, but you know, when you look back on this past year and really all these 5 years, there's been a lot of challenges. And life is like this. Life seems to have these parallel lines of experience going on oftentimes simultaneously, there's been some serious challenges. We've lost friends. Jenny, of course, is profound, but for many of us who have come up from Ames, over the course of the years, we've realized that the friends that we had back there, we don't seem to have that same connection. They've just dwindled away over time. We've lost contact. We've lost friends. There's many of us, we've lost revenue as a result of coming to Decorah. There's just been some hardships financially that have hit us on the blind side, and that's made it difficult to get by day by day. There's just been a lot of unexpected hardships. Sometimes it's just simply emotional, spiritual strain. It's a battle, and we've experienced them, and it's been hard. But at the same time, there's been these blessings that we simply can't ignore. We've made new friends. So many of you guys are new friends from over the course of the 5 years and even over the course of this past year. New friends. I didn't even know you guys existed. Some of you, I knew you existed, Mom. And sometimes I wonder, though, when I can't remember my kids' names. But we've made new friends. And really, when you think about it, we've entered into a greater participation with the gospel than we could have ever imagined. To think that we're reaching, or at least canvassing, the entire upper northeast Iowa area with the gospel message, that's crazy talk. And here we are doing it. So our participation in the gospel has gone through the roof, as well as seeing people come to Christ. They always, all the church growth books will say that the churches that see the most salvations are the new church plants. It's the small churches, not the big churches. They get people leaving other churches to join them. No, it's the small churches that actually have to do the hard work of getting out the gospel, seeing people say, I want Jesus to be my Savior. And then they get involved in the church. And we have seen salvations happen, I would like to think, more so than we would have if we had stayed in our comfortable confines in Ames or wherever. And that's just the first 5 years. There's more to come. I'm not going to say it's going to be a walk in the park these next 5 years because all the hard stuff is now behind us. No, it's going to continue to be here. But God is here too. If there would be a verse I would encourage you guys with for the next 5 years, even this next year, it would be in Galatians. If you have a Bible, open up to Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. One of my personal favorites, but it really grounds me. When I get discouraged, when I want to throw in the towel, when I say, to heck with this, I want to live an easier, comfortable life, buy a bunch of videos and, you know, hold myself up in my cabin, I go back to this verse. And this verse, God reminds me not to give up. It says, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. There's so much embedded in that verse. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. So let's not give up. Let's persevere. God is not a stingy God. He's waiting for the proper time to bless us with a harvest.
Amen. And may he bless. I have a verse for you also. It's in Genesis 18. I've been in the 1 year, so I'm back to Genesis. Genesis 18, 14. This is probably the first time, I'm pretty sure it's the first time that this appears in the scripture. It appears quite a few more times, but God had told Abraham that he was going to have a son. And this guy is in his 90s. And God's comment to him was, is anything too difficult for God? As you think about life, as you think about your own challenges, and they are challenges, aren't they? Is anything too difficult for the God who made heaven and earth? Patty and I have been watching this cosmos thing by Answers in Genesis, and it just absolutely blows your mind how big, how big, how big, how big everything out there is. And yet God just spoke, and the elements obeyed him. This is literally how it happened. He spoke, and they were formed. Is anything too difficult? Anything in your life, anything big, anything small, is anything too difficult? Can't be done? It can be done. We just want to encourage you with that. We have a God who is, the verse that we mentioned there in Matthew 28 is, I will never leave you. That is another thing that is repeated many times in the scriptures. I will never leave you. Lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. So Jesus said he would build his church. The gates of hell, they won't inhibit him from going and snatching souls. Thank you for joining us in this. Let's close in prayer. God, we do thank you that you've set us on a worthy mission, a mission to take your love into places where it's not been known. That just seems impossible, that we could be able to be used in this way, but nothing is impossible with you. It's possible. We ask you then this year that you would use each one of us in sharing this message, in displaying this message, so that your name and your fame and your glory and your honor might be seen here. In Jesus' name, amen.